When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Empire. Reinventing the presentation of MMA.
So last year, we had a 500-1 underdog win the championship. A real world Rocky. He knocked out two previous year's champions to get there. Those stories not only unfold, but build throughout the 8 months.
That's Don Davis, chairman and co-founder of the Professional Fighters League, who brought new ideas to format and technology to combat sports. This is the Future Sport Podcast. I'm Bram Weinstein. Don Davis has joined us before, but it was years ago, and the PFL has grown exponentially in that time. While he will admit that catching the UFC as the dominant MMA league is still way off in the distance, the innovation the league has profiled has helped its popularity grow rapidly. Our guest this week is Don Davis. He's the co-founder and the chairman of the Professional Fighters League, which is prime time on ESPN, ESPN Plus in the U.S. They're broadcast and streamed in over 150 countries with 20 premium media distribution partners. We spoke with Don a few years ago. There's a lot of technology in presentation with MMA. And we're going to catch up with where they are because the growth has been exponential. Hi, Don. How are you?
Great to be talking fighting with you, particularly on the debut day of season 6 of the PFL League season, which starts tonight.
Okay, let's talk about that for a moment here. You guys do this a little bit differently than some of the other MMA leagues. You guys have seasons. Can you talk about the decision to have seasons in your league?
When I founded the PFL, it was really founded on the sports season format. In the past, it had always been a promoter decides. Dana White's just Don King, moved from boxing to MMA. Who is going to compete for a championship? That's great entertainment, but that's not sport. Sport is transparency, meritocracy, win in advance, lose and go home. Those are the foundations of the Professional Fighters League. So my original vision was March Madness meets MMA. What if you had the journeys and the stories of a season? A tournament where you had to win 4 times in 8 months, and then you got the $1 million check and you raised the belt. I would enjoy MMA more if I could truly see that transparency and meritocracy. So that's what PFL has been for 5 years. It is that journey. And whether you have a little bit or a lot of social media followers, whether you're from Dagestan or the United States, and whether you speak English or you don't, the best wins and the best moves on.
Tell me a little bit about the fighters and how they've taken to that format. It obviously is different than what everyone has been accustomed to in combat sports. So when you presented this, what was the reaction from the fighters?
It was interesting. In the first year, people said, that ain't going to work. People don't like new things in general when it comes to sports. Sports tends to be somewhat insular. Where I came from, invest in technology, people love new things. They like to see new. Oh, it's an iPhone. Let me try it. Yeah. I didn't think I needed that. But in sports, people tend to be somewhat insular. So everybody said that won't work due to injuries. That won't work because fighters won't have activity. That won't work because fans are used to one-off events. The opposite is true. Just like Seinfeld, I'm doing the opposite. And it happened to work out. Fighters love it a lot more. Predictable schedule. They can train. They know who they're fighting next. Constant payday and full control. Fighters loved it. So already our fighter roster is equal to UFC. 30% of our roster top 25 ranked, 30% of UFC top 25 ranked. What? That's unheard of. In 5 years, we built a roster as good as theirs because fighters liked it. Fans, 40% viewership against UFC in just 5 years. We don't have $200 million in marketing. They're 30 years old. And already in 2023, on a per-event basis, PFL, 40% of UFC viewership. And half of our fans are sports fans. They're new to MMA. Why do they like it? They're used to watching the NBA. They're used to watching the NFL. They understand a season. They understand meritocracy and win in advance. So fans really responded. And the last thing is media partners. ESPN Prime Time, 22 media partners covering 150 countries. And we're the first sports league ever in 5 years to be paid cash media rights in 150 countries. First one ever. So this has been very validating by fighters, fans, and media, which are the only three constituencies necessary to build a big sports league.
Okay. And the fans, they have a through line to a story. So you can keep connectivity with them maybe differently than some of the other combat sports where it is more one-off and there's no regularity to when they're going to see their favorite fighters actually fight?
Absolutely. You really see the adhesion or connectivity in two ways. One, you see the season start tonight. Six weight classes, 12 fighters in each weight class. Everybody has an opportunity. What is going to happen from April 4th to Black Friday, the day after Friday when the championship is held? It is a true beginning, middle, and end. It is a journey. It is a narrative. It is a season. So people understand what is happening so they can connect to those fighters, their journey, and their stories, number one. Number two is we're all fighters. We like a fair fight. We might be fighting for love, a better job, a better house. We are all fighting for something. We want a fair fight. We don't get to manipulate anything here in the PFL. We don't decide who's ranked one or three or seven behind closed doors. It's all decided in the cage. So whoever wins tonight in this heavyweight matchups, they'll move on and they'll fight in another 8 weeks. Whoever doesn't, we'll next see them in 2025. So the authenticity and the fair fight nature of the opportunity is the other way the connection has really happened with fans.
You must have seedings, though, right? To start a season out, like,
right? Of course.
Yeah. Okay.
Of course.
Okay. And so how is that decided? Since we're talking about fair fight and everyone's going in with the same chance, but someone's going to be, you know, quote unquote, ranked or seated ahead of the other fighters.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we try to do it two ways. One, good fights. Everybody wants to see still a really good fight. So you try to put forward really good matchups. And number two, with some history toward what you've earned. Champions in the past, finalists in the past, they've earned certain respect. That being said, if you follow the social media and the Reddit posts about tonight, some people are saying, damn, that's too hard a fight. Why is the champion having to start with that hard a fight? So we don't baby anybody at all. What we really have as a driving force is what would be a really good fight? What would be a really good matchup for fans? Because in the PFL, there is no undercard. Oftentimes in the UFC, there's 10 fights on a card, and everybody wants to see the last one. And the first nine, because they're not for a belt. They're not going anywhere. They're just call it friendlies to take a soccer term or preseason to take an NFL term. That's why when you watch the viewing trends in the UFC, first nine fights, nobody watches. They're kind of getting popcorn. They're kind of tuning in. PFL, the audience is the same. Because tonight we have 10 fights. 10, 7, 4, 1. They all have the same stakes. Now we think the last fight might be more interesting because it's a bigger name, but they're all the same. You win, you move, you lose, you don't. All equal stakes tonight.
You know, it's interesting, the idea of introducing the fighters and having a through line storyline that is rare. Obviously, those who are really P1 fans of any of these combat sports, they probably know the big names. But to your point, how would you know anybody on the undercard unless you were seriously researching something like that? I guess for you all, you're seeing this differently, that you need to almost from like a wrestling model, you need to show the people who they're rooting for and give them an opportunity to get behind them in their story.
And to me, look, I'm not a big college basketball fan. Don't like it. Don't watch it. But I watch March Madness because I know 16 versus one.
Yeah.
I understand what it is. Hey, I know this Kentucky and Duke are kind of powerhouses. Will they be back again this year or not? So there's built-in narrative in the PFL format. But there's also then exciting underdogs. When they win, can they win a second time? Or was it a fluke? So last year, we had a 500-1 underdog win the championship. A real world Rocky. He knocked out two previous year's champions to get there. Those stories not only unfold, but build throughout the 8 months. We don't know whether they're going to happen. We don't know where they're going to happen. We also had the emergence of La Problemo. Kenan Panera, who's now the number five heavyweight in the world, just probably knocked Ryan Bader, the Bellator heavyweight champion, into retirement, and will face Francis Ngannou in September. Well, a year ago, he was just in the mix. He was just another guy in the heavyweight division in the PFL season. And now he's established himself as probably the most dangerous guy in the entire world in just 18 months in the heavyweight division. So to me, what most people don't understand about MMA is it's not like football, where there's very few quarterbacks. There's only like 15 quarterbacks who can take you to the Super Bowl. If your team doesn't have one, you're all bummed out. The difference of skills in MMA between fighter number 20 in the world and fighter number 4 is very thin. And now that PFL has so many good fighters, the difference of the product between PFL and UFC is non-existent. A-plus fights all around. And what we're providing is opportunity to really see who's the best, not just who somebody wants to market to you as the best.
All right, before we get into the technology, which I want to talk to you about, one more thing about the competition. In leading up to getting an opportunity to speak with you, I was sent a quote from your group calling a vision globally for the PFL as the Champions League of MMA. Could you kind of talk to me about what you all mean by that?
Well, great question. For those who are fans of soccer, you know there's 10 soccer leagues in the world, and they really cover the regions. MLS, actually, in the U.S. is the smallest, Premier League being the biggest, and there's 8 leagues in between. What PFL is doing is launching regional leagues in every major territory that has great MMA fighters and great MMA interest. The main league we have is PFL Global. That's the one that has the best fighters, get paid the most money, goes head-to-head with UFC. But we launched last year PFL Europe. That is the top fighters in Europe. It's all prime time in Europe. All the events are in Europe. And we produced a sensation there, Cedric Doumbé, who sold out a core arena in 2 hours, 16,000 tickets. He's Europe's favorite son right now. He is a sensation. We will launch PFL Mideast next month. All Mideast fighters, all prime time, Mideast TV, all in the Mideast. Also announced PFL Africa and PFL Australia will launch April and May of 2025. All Africa, all Australia, all primetime, all local. By the end of 2026, there'll be 7 of these international regional leagues. The winners of those leagues move up to PFL Global. So it's the first true system you ever have in MMA where your own regional fighters at the very high level, you watch them grow, you watch them compete, you watch them become champion of Europe, champion of Australia. And then they go up to PFL Global to fight the biggest and best in the world. That's never existed before in MMA. And that's what we're building with the PFL Champions League of MMA.
Future Sport is a presentation of Empire Media, a B2B and B2C podcast and digital company dedicated to making your business or brand be heard. Internal or external content creation that will have a lasting impact on your strategy, consulting, creation, and production, all to help you effectively communicate your message in any marketplace. Learn more at AmpireMedia.com, AmpireMedia.com. Let's continue our conversation with Don Davis, who is the co-founder and chairman of the Professional Fighters League. And let's shift into the technology that you guys bring to the cage. You have what's called the Smart Cage, a proprietary piece of equipment. Can you tell us, just give us the background on the thought process behind it and what it can do?
Yeah, before I started the Professional Fighters League, I'd never seen an MMA fight. So I come at this as a sports fan, not an MMA fan. So our entire product vision is, how do we make viewing a PFL MMA fight more interesting and more accessible to sports fans? That's why 50% of our audience are sports fans, not just diehard MMA people. So what are some examples and what do I mean by that? Think of the yellow line in football that shows us the first down. Think of the strike zone and the pitch speed in baseball. I'm 62. I remember when those didn't exist. It's way better watching football and baseball with those existing because we know what's going on. Prior to PFL, those didn't exist in MMA. They just had a clock. Round two, 1 minute and 22 seconds left. That's all UFC does. What does PFL do to help you understand the fight? One, we've created AI scoring. After every round, we have an artificial intelligence scoring system that tells you who won that round.
Huh.
Now, obviously, judges still score the round. But what if you didn't know the score of the football game until the end? No fun. Here, you can debate with your friends who won that round. And you get a little bit more context what that round was about. The second thing we do is we have some data and analytics. Punch impact, kick speed, number of takedowns and pressure. You can now start to understand, wow, these are tremendous athletes. I can see the data of what is going on in this fight, real time in this fight. The third thing we do is we're the only sports league that displays on screen real time gambling odds every 1 minute. So you see real time what the world of gaming odds is saying about this fight. So it's another way of saying predictive. What is going on? Very interesting in terms of engagement. And then the last type of thing we do is called all access. A ref cam who shows you within 1 foot the knockout or the takedown or the pressure this guy's trying to do on the reversal. So we have cameras that other people don't have. We have slow motion that other people don't have. We have backroom access that other people don't have. So this collective we call the Smart Cage, which is a system of cameras and a system of technology, which gives you access and understanding to really appreciate and enjoy the MMA fight at PFL.
Let me go back to the scoring part of it with AI scoring, and you do have human judges as well. Have they been at odds with one another where the AI is telling one story and the human judges are telling another?
It has happened. It's interesting. Screens in the arena were not allowed to display that. Right, because you can't influence the judges or any, you don't want the fans to see that. So it's only viewed at home. So in all the media contracts on your TV or smartphone at home, you can see, you can't see in venue. We've had some notable contests where there has been different scoring. Happens once or twice a year. But it's no different from calling a referee making a really bad pass interference call and maybe changing a game in football. Mistakes happen all the time, but these mistakes are not out of the ordinary, you know, call it 1 or 2% that you happen in other sports.
And in the end, though, the human score is what counts. Is that correct?
Absolutely. We operate under the same unified MMA rules as the UFC or other MMA promotions in terms of how the ring is scored and how the fight is operated.
Do you see a day where AI will be the official scorer of bouts?
I don't think so in the near term. I think the debate will happen just like it is with balls and strikes on referees in baseball. I think 10 years from now, there will be AI used for certain aspects. But I think what might happen before that is reviews, yeah. Just like other sports have used reviews. But I think the scoring is probably 10 years out, just as the mechanical umpires are longer time out.
interesting part of reviews is I don't know how in the world you'd ever stop a bout in the middle of a round. So, boy, that's tricky to try to implement reviews unless it would be outside of an actual round, right?
Yeah, I think the certain things about assessing points, was it an eye poke? Was it a flagrant eye poke? Is that minus a point or not? So I don't think it's a heavy use, but there are certain things when you're deducting a point in a fight, which you know is a big deal.
Yes.
You know, that could be quickly reviewed in 5 seconds or 10 seconds because you don't want to do that, you know, without being sure that that was a deductible event.
Let's talk about betting for a moment and how important of an initiative it is for your league moving forward.
Yeah, betting right now is still not a big driver in MMA. It will be when prop bets are more proficient. Right now, just the winner and loser doesn't create a lot of action. This is true for PFL as well as UFC. Prop bets will. Hardest punch, round one, Francis Ngannou, over under 28 miles an hour. That's going to start to drive a lot of action. We are working with DraftKings and others to create enough data set, enough integrity to be able to offer a robust series of prop bets in 2025. And I think that will really drive engagement in terms of fans watching more. And that will really drive, call it the handle of fans betting more.
You're doing a lot with technology. What do you want to do next? What's going to happen in the next couple of years?
Yeah, we're really focused on three things. One, continuing to recruit and develop the very best fighters in the world. PFL's fighter first. We offer them control. We offer them more money. We offer them an equal big global stage. Fighters, fighters, fighters. So that everybody understands PFL is an equal product to UFC and the product on the rise. Number two, global expansion. We do want to roll out PFL, Africa, Australia, Latin America, and Asia in the next 4 years. We want to be the most global and the closest connected to the fans globally in all of MMA. UFC just takes one event on the road like a circus, drops it into Australia and leaves. We want to live, breathe, and connect to the Australian fan base and the Australian fighters permanently year-round. And then number three is just the continued growth of the business. Right now, we're the number two MMA company by every single metric. That was our goal, candidly, when we started out. Our goal was humbly, we're going to be a viable, strong number two. Nobody had ever done that in MMA before. Everybody had kind of been seven dwarfs. Nobody had been a number two. Well, we achieved that with the acquisition of Bellator by every metric. Our new goal is to be the co-leader. Not beat anybody, but be the co-leader and share that stage with UFC. And that's the commercial and the business and the audience metrics that we want to achieve.
Okay, last thing. You mentioned you didn't really watch MMA fights before you started all of this. So what, 5 years, whatever it is now into it, what do you make of the sport? What did you think of it then? And what do you think of it now?
It's astounding. It is astounding. I'm really down to watching two sports now. The NFL and college football and MMA. The MMA sport is so beautiful. It's so interesting. It's so fast paced and has so much high stakes that I can't watch the other stuff because every fight matters. In 15 minutes, lives are made or broken. All these athletes in MMA don't make much money, and they've worked often a decade to make their life better. They respect the sport so deeply. They respect each other in a way that you don't see oftentimes except on the NFL field. So to me, there is nothing like a 15-minute fight for high, high stakes. And if I go watch the 50th game of an NBA season, it means nothing. The 62nd game of an MLB season, it means nothing. So even though I'm 62, I'm not a millennial, I value my time. And I want to put my time against sporting events where the stakes and the meaning are through the roof. And that's every MMA fight in the PFL.
Don Davis is the co-founder and the chairman of the Professional Fighters League. Thank you so much for joining us.
I love being here. Thank you.
On the next Future Sport podcast, an update on how shot tracking technology is helping basketball players and coaches.
We may let you know that you're number five, but you don't see and what percentile you're in, but you don't see who's one, two, three, and four. Mm-hmm. And you don't see who's six, seven, eight, nine to, you know, whatever the number is. So from our perspective, there's still a pretty significant edge in the practice environment, because what we found is that, look, if somebody wanted to, they can go get the game data, but they're not going to get any practice data.
That's Davion Ross, co-founder of Shot Tracker, who discusses new partnerships and technology to help players and teams continue to achieve better on-court results. That will do it for this episode. As always, the future is now. This is the Future Sport Podcast. I'm Bram Weinstein.